You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, it's Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
Kia ora, we've got in the studio today for Stage Direction, Alice Canton. Yes. Hi, Alice.
Hello, hello. I'm like frantically jostling my baby in the background because she decided today she's going to be wide awake and she's going to join in on the conversation that we're having. But it's not just me and Evelyn in the studio. We're joined by Rutini Spooner, the one, the only.
Ah, kia ora.
We're here talking about Be Like Billy, which is Rutini's show on Etipo Theatre. You've been touring across the country. You were in...
We started off in Rotorua.
Yeah.
And then we went to Otaki at Māori Land Hub. Then we're here in Tāmaki. And then popping over to Gisborne and Nelson.
Yeah. Gosh, Be Like Billy, this show, how do you even begin to explore this notion of Billy T. James, an icon and a legend, but also an actual human being who lived and breathed and was flawed and also where do you even begin with a work like this?
Oh, that's a really good question. I mean, that is so evident, and because this is draft 23, you know, and it's had so many different versions of it. Very straight theatery, very purely bandy, very, yeah. Anyway, we arrived at this thing that we're not trying to solve anything. We're not trying to, we're just trying to bring that conversation. Because you're right, he was very complex. So it celebrates that. And I think it's like the easiest way is like it's an honouring of him and that time, and particularly Māori entertainers of that time. But it's more the path that they led, you know, and then us deciding how much of that path we keep going down and how much we branch off or create our new path as Māori entertainers.
I mean, it's really the complexity of like the representation of an identity here. We're talking about, you know, he knew what he was doing, and he did so with tenacity. And it's really challenging to talk about, like, he knew and he did it, and for whom.
Yeah.
What sort of big questions were you asking of your own identity as a Māori performer? You know, I've seen you in such a range of work. I think, originally, you're one of the few performers I've seen in this country. I've seen you tap dancing in musicals. I've seen you literally 5, 6, 7, 8 across the stage, sashaying away. I've seen you in straight play, you know, plays, and everything in between. So, what was kind of coming up for you in your own practice, I guess?
I mean, it's that, you know, theatre being that whole kind of thing that you can showcase that kind of thing. The whole show, the premise is, because I used to be, for a while there, I was a Billy T impersonator. And so there was a particular event that we talk about in the show that turned it for me. Because, you know, like so a lot of the content of that time that we just inherited as a good time, you know, it changes with my kind of generation, because we are products of like Kohanga Reo movement, Kura Kaupapa movement, and so basically the show talks about that tussle that I had about around kind of moving forward that way, or not the uncomfortability about around that.
So I mean, we're talking about the sort of discomfort. What might audiences face in this work, Be Like Billy, when she's loving it, by the way, when you talk about discomfort, is it around the role of the Māori, like that sort of Māori persona or something? Is that the kind of what you're depositing?
Totally. We hone into like the tenue sketch and like the stereotypes that those particular things, you know, and the generalizations that those sorts of stereotypes feed, and having to wear those and then trying to kind of rebuke them and get rid of them, and especially because, you know, like I often get because it's the a lot of people, I'm going to say, you know, like non-Māori, a lot of people's idea of a Māori entertainer on stage singing and joking is Billy T. Yes. So when a completely different Māori singing joker jumps on, we are all of a sudden cloaked in all of those things. Mm. And so it's basically trying to like go, here are the things that we're juggling, you know, like let's not too keen on being the joke somebody else's joke,
yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
Which is...
And I'm sure there'll be people that would go, because, you know, the beloved Billy T, and then probably go, oh, hold on, was I actually a part of, I don't want to say part of the problem, but, you know, was I a part of reinforcing that kind of narrative inadvertently? Have you had pushback from folk?
Well, the thing is I think that was the key for us was it's a product of that time. Mm-hmm. He's a product of that time. Our thoughts and our memories are a product of the time. And so what we're obviously trying to say is like, it's not to condemn that, yep, but there is some stuff that we don't need to hold on to.
Mm.
And so it's the invitation to the person who's watching to think around that again and not to just reconstitute it, you know.
Keep rolling out the same, holding folk to the same stereotype, essentially.
Totally. I mean, there's so much... Well, the funny thing is like those kind of sketches that Billy came up with back then were influenced by his infatuation with British comedy.
Yeah, right.
You know, so he magpied a lot of that British comedy back then in the 70s and 80s and then redid it his own way. So if anything, I'm picking up from that and just kind of spinning it.
It's a postmodern, postmodern. it's a Māori performer scrutinising another Māori performer scrutinising British culture in a colonial context. Oh gosh, there's so much in that. The work is it is a solo work, but you've got a show band. You've got a whole, behind you. So it's songs. It's what is it?
Yeah, it's kind of our version of Māori cabaret.
Oh,
and
yes.
So we're this weird thing of, not weird, but beautiful kind of cross section of like theatre and cabaret.
Yes.
So it's like gig theatre almost. And it is me and my band, the Takeda Mutton Birds, and who are all Ōtautahi based.
Yeah,
and it is a solo work, but you know, as you know, there's just like there's a big, huge crowd around it, crew around it. Sorry, and I think I learned pretty early on when I started doing solo works that it's actually quite isolating, you know.
Yeah.
And,
and
I'm like, oh. Okay, I don't actually like working by myself, so I will,
So I get in six people to be my band.
No, don't just sit there, you're in it. This person, you're that person, and
Oh, cool. What is Māori cabaret? That's controversial, but for you, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's something I'm always asking myself, what is Māori cabaret? And that's something that Holly and I have been working on.
Yes. This is Holly Chibble-Eason, the director, worked with you as a director and the dramaturg in the work,
But like it feels like my life mission is like, what is Māori cabaret? At the moment, I think, and after like researching a whole lot of and going to see a whole lot of cabaret overseas, contemporary cabaret anyway, I think Māori cabaret is this interesting kind of crossroads of theatre-y. It's actually, you know, to be honest, it's actually not too much different from any other cabaret.
Right.
We just use structures within tikanga Māori. Ooh. So like the structure of whai kōrero, and that structures a lot of, you know, the show and our practice.
Yes.
But it's just like any other cabaret where it doesn't kind of, where you set it up and to push it further, you drop the song. And But I think that's it. I think it's also, I think the... cabaret sits really nicely within like Māori storytelling, because that's kind of how we tell
stories.
It's like, you know, if you think about the Maraiatea, we go there, we here's our points. It could be robust conversation, it could be really pointed, it could be really like cheeky, and you know, it's purest form, it's not te aroha at the end. Te aroha.
The vacuum cleaner.
Yeah. But it's like, and to kick the ball home, you know, it's this number.
Yeah.
And so I think it's one of the strongest kind of new ways of taking traditional Māori storytelling. One of them.
We are talking about Be Like Billy. You've got two more shows on in Tamaki Makaurau, tonight and tomorrow night at Te Pou Theatre in Henderson at Corbin's Estate. You've got we've been plugging during Kuanga Festival, which is on at the moment, but this is the work to bring home the festival. You've still got some tickets left.
Yeah, we've still got a handful of tickets tonight, and Saturday is looking pretty full, but it's getting pretty full, but I think there is still a few more for Saturday.
You've got to swoop in, you've got to get them, you've got to see the man, the legend that is Rutan A. Spooner.
I mean, even my microphone sock is yellow.
Oh, it's yellow. Mean,
did you set that up?
Hey, it's all in the ether.
It was all planned.
So yeah, Beth, whereabouts can people get tickets from?
You can get your tickets through Te Pou's website. So you guys, everyone listening, you need to go do that right now.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. Thanks very much for coming in today, Alice and Rutanae. It's been really great listening to you guys chat.
We could talk for... I've got so much I want to ask you.
And I could always yarn with you. And, you know, this is my public mihi to you as well, because you were there when we first, you know, started this. You put me and Holly together.
Oh, look, that was... Yes, I want to say that was, 10 years ago or so. It's been a long journey. I just really think at the heart of this work, it's doing the heavy lifting of the kinds of questions we should be asking, not just in theatre in this country, but more broadly about our identity here in Aotearoa. So the pleasure is all mine.
Thanks very much. That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton and Rutanae Spooner talking about Be Like Billy.
That was Stage Direction with Alice Canton.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.